Tonight, our lesson is in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. This is a passage that I've known all my life, and over the last week, the Lord has taught me a lot about what it means, a lot that I never understood before. It's Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. This is another one of those popular verses that a lot of people memorize when they're young or even when they're older. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." This is one of those passages that's really easy to understand on the surface, but yet it's one of those that kind of like they say about a chicken gizzard, right? The more you chew on it, the bigger it gets. It's like that. I mean, there's just so much there. And it's another one of those verses like we've talked about before where the Bible says a lot of the same things over and over, but in different ways. This is one of those things. And this passage really teaches us about how to live a life that's pleasing to God. And it begins in verse 5 with, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart." Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And then it says, "Don't lean or depend on your own understanding." And then it says, "In all your ways acknowledge Him." So He gives us three things here that He wants us to do. And if we'll do those three things, in the last part of verse 6, it says that He will do something for us. If we'll do those three things, then He will direct our paths. People ask all the time, well, how do I know? I mean, how do I know that God is guiding me? How do I get God to guide me? How do I get God to show me what He wants me to do? This is how you do it. There's three things. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. And if we'll do that, it says that He shall or will direct our paths. That puts an obligation on Him. So it starts with us. We do those three things, and then He is obligated to give us directions, to direct our paths. So, beginning back in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. To trust means to have confidence in, to be secure in this thing. So we're to trust in the Lord. We're to find our security in life from Him. We're to find our boldness in life from Him. We're to find our hope in life from Him. We are to put our confidence in Him. That's what it means to trust Him. And we're not to just trust Him in some things, or to some degree, but with all of our heart. This word heart means, you know, our ability to think, our ability to understand, what we think of as our inner man, our soul, our minds, our will, all the things inside of us that we use to make decisions and to do things with. That's our heart. And we are to trust in the Lord with all of that. We're to come to a place to where all of our trust and confidence and security and everything that we depend upon is Him at the very deepest level. We are not to depend upon whatever money we have in our bank account. We're not to depend upon Social Security and the government. We're not to depend upon our family and friends. We're not to depend upon other people. We are to depend upon Him. And when we depend and trust upon Him, that's when we're in a place to where He will begin to direct us and guide us. So we have to trust Him with all of our heart. Secondly, not only are we to trust Him with all of our heart, but we're to lean not on our own understanding. This word lean here literally means to lean, like we think of, like leaning against something, leaning against a wall, leaning on a staff or a spear, leaning on a cane, leaning on a person. It literally means to lean and put our weight and our trust and our reliance on something. If you know, when you lean on a cane, you're trusting that thing to hold you up. Because if it doesn't, you're going to fall over. If you lean on a wall, you're trusting that wall to hold you up. And what it's saying here is don't lean. Don't depend or trust or rely or put your confidence in your own understanding. In your own insight. In your own intelligence. In your own ability to reason things out. In your own discernment, in your own ability to discern between what's good and bad and what's right and wrong. We're not to lean or trust or depend on our own understanding. But instead, we're to completely trust in the Lord with all of our heart. So number one, we trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Number two, we don't trust ourselves. We don't lean and depend on our own ability to decide what to do and to direct our own lives. And then the third thing that we are to do is to, in all of our ways, acknowledge Him. This all of your ways is in all the things that you do, or in everything that you do. In the course of your life, throughout your life, in everything. It literally means a road or a distance traveled or a journey. So it's this idea of across time, across your journey throughout life, in all of your ways, in everything that you do, in all of your life, in every part of your life, professional, social, family, personal, in all ways, in all parts of our lives, we are to acknowledge Him. This word acknowledge, it means to recognize that He's there. Acknowledge Him. If a person comes up and they talk to you and you don't acknowledge them, that means to ignore them, right? Well, He didn't even acknowledge that I existed. You know, it's that idea. And what we are to do is in all of our ways, we are to acknowledge Him. We are to recognize that He is there with us. We are to not only recognize that He is there, but we're to seek out what He wants us to do in that situation. We are to acknowledge Him by thinking about Him, thinking about what it is that you want me to do. Asking Him, Lord, I'm in this situation. What do you want me to do here? And it's to perceive and find out from Him what it is that He wants. So in every part of our life, we're looking. It's that whole idea of watching and praying that we've talked about before. That's the same thing here. In all of our ways, acknowledge Him is the same thing as watching and praying. In everything that we do, we recognize that He's there, that He wants to participate in it, that He wants us to do those things in the way that He wants us to do them, and we ask Him. And we look for what He's doing. We perceive what He wants us to do. It's another meaning of that word is to discriminate or to distinguish. And this doesn't mean we have this idea of the word discriminate as always being negative. And it can be negative when you talk about discriminating based on racial issues or things of that sort. But here, this word discriminate means to discern between two things, whether something is good or bad. To discern whether something is what God wants us to do or something is what Satan wants us to do. Or what sin wants us to do, or what other people want us to do. So he's saying in every part of our life, we're to acknowledge Him, we're to discriminate between what He wants and what every other thing wants. What I want that's contrary to Him, what the world wants, what Satan wants. We're to recognize those things. So we're to trust Him with all of our heart. Completely, implicitly, and everything. Just put all of our dependence upon Him. And then we are not to depend upon ourselves and our own ability to think and reason and understand. And in all of our ways, everything that we do, everywhere that we go, we are to acknowledge Him. We're to think about Him. We're to submit to Him. We're to ask Him what He wants us to do. We're to recognize that He is there with us and interact with Him appropriately. So much of our lives tends to be, I know for me, that I don't even acknowledge His presence. So many days in my life I've gone from the morning, I'll get up and I'll pray and read the Bible for a few minutes, and then I'll go throughout the day without ever acknowledging that He's right there with me. But that's what we're supposed to do. This whole idea of acknowledging Him is the same idea that Joe talked about in his sermon from 2 Corinthians 10:5, where it talks about, it says that what we are to do, our warfare is a spiritual warfare, and we're to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So this first part of it, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, that's casting down all the thoughts that we have that are against Him. That is the same thing as saying, lean not unto thine own understanding. See? Not leaning on your own understanding and casting down your imaginations and every high or haughty or arrogant thought that you have that exalts itself against God is the same thing as not leaning on your own understanding. And then that last part that says, and then to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ is the same thing as saying, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. In everything we do, at every moment, in every thought that we have, we're to bring those thoughts under the control of Christ, under the control of God, so that then He can direct us. You see how that works? If we completely trust Him, we stop trusting ourselves, and in everything that we do, we acknowledge Him, then we're in a place to where He can begin to direct us. If we haven't done those three things, He can't direct us because we're doing our own thing. Either we don't trust Him, or we're trusting in ourselves, or we're just pretending like He's not there by not paying Him any attention. If we're doing any of those three things, then He can't direct us. But if we're doing all three of those things, completely trusting Him, not trusting ourselves, and acknowledging Him in everything that we do, then we're in a place where He can begin to give us directions, where He can begin to tell us what He expects of us. And that's what it says in the last part of verse 6. And He shall direct your paths. When we do those three things, we will be in a place where He can give us directions, where He can tell us what He wants and why He wants it and where He wants us to go. Where He can, you know, Joe's talked about several times that the Bible tells us how and what. And when He's giving us these directions here, that's when He tells us who and when and where, right? He can give us those directions. This word direct here means to show or guide or make plain or obvious something. If we will do those things, God will guide us. He'll give us directions and He'll make the things that He wants us to do plain or clear. That's His obligation if we do our part. And what He will make clear is the path or the way that He wants us to go, the thing that He wants us to do, the who, the when, and the where. He'll make those things clear to us. And then it says in verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Yeah, that's the thing that short circuits all of this. When we think that, when we look at ourselves and think, hey, I got this under control. I can handle this. I got it. That's when we just put ourselves in a place where God can't direct us, where He can't give us directions because we think we know what to do. Be not wise in your own eyes. This word wise here we've talked about. What it means to be wise is the ability to make a choice that is a choice that God would be pleased with. It's the ability to choose rightly. It's the ability to judge between things, to make correct judgments and decisions and choices. And he says, don't be wise in your own eyes. See, there's true wisdom when we're wise in God's eyes, and that's when we're receiving direction from Him and we're able to make the right choices based on His guidance. That's true wisdom. But when we're wise in our own eyes, that means that we're wise in our own estimate. We're looking at ourselves and we're estimating that we are capable of handling this situation for sure. See? And in that scenario, we are not acknowledging Him. If we are wise in our own eyes, that means that we have judged ourselves and determined that we're capable of judging. Just when you hear that, you can recognize that there's a problem there, right? However much discernment and judgment I have, if mine is lacking, then my judgment of myself is going to be lacking too, right? Paul said that about himself. He says, my conscience is not accusing me of anything. I don't know of anything that's not right in my life right now, but that does not acquit me. It is God who judges. And that's the idea here. We don't need to judge ourselves as wise. We need to recognize that God is wise and submit ourselves to Him. So it says, be not wise in your own eyes. Don't think that you're capable of making your own choices in life. Instead, fear God and depart from evil. We've studied about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is to stand in awe of Him and to fear Him and to reverence and honor and respect Him. Instead of being wise in our own eyes, instead of looking at ourselves and thinking that we are capable of making all the decisions in our lives, what we need to do is look at God, see Him for who He is, and fear Him. Recognize Him as the awesome God who is all wise and is the only one who's capable of guiding and directing our paths. And then we're to depart from evil. We're to leave or avoid or go away from all the things in life that can corrupt our mind and our thinking. We're to leave those things. We're to depart from them. And that's a real issue in our society today, is that it is very difficult to depart from evil. It's very difficult. This word here means to shun or turn away from or avoid. In our society, with the media and advertisements and billboards and magazines and the checkout line and television and the radio and the internet and everywhere that we look, it is very, very difficult for us to depart from evil. But we need to do that. We need to avoid it, to shun it, to get away from it, because it will corrupt us. We need to fear the Lord and depart from evil. Evil is sin. It's everything that is wrong from God's perspective. It is everything that is displeasing to Him. And if we'll do that, if we'll stop being wise in our own eyes, recognize that God is only wise, fear Him, depart from evil, and the result will be that it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. I think the King James says it will be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. So if we'll do these things, then our belly buttons will be healthy.
We won't have ulcers.
What does it mean to have a healthy navel or belly button?
That's right.
That word, it literally means umbilical cord. What it's talking about there, there's two parts here that it's kind of talking about. It's talking about the health of our bodies, the flesh on our bodies, and then the health of our bones. And if we'll do these things, then God, it will promote health and healing in our flesh, in our body, our nerves, our muscles, all of those things. Basically, all the stuff that's hanging on our bones, that the bones are a frame for. And it will add marrow. That word there literally means moisture, to your bones, which is strength or nourishment or refreshment. So physically, if we will live this way, there are physical benefits to that. There are physical health benefits to living as we've described here tonight. But I think those things also, not only does that engender physical health, but it also causes spiritual health. And that's the real important health, right? That's the thing that really makes a difference. I think it's actually the spiritual health that benefits our physical health and emotional health. It causes us to be healthy and to heal and to be stronger, to be refreshed, both spiritually, emotionally, and physically. So this is a really, I think, important passage. It lays it out so clearly as to how we get direction from God and how we live a life that is healthy, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. We begin by trusting the Lord with all of our heart. Trust Him completely. Completely depend and rely upon Him. And then we learn not to lean on our own understanding. We have to stop depending on what we can logically figure out on our own. And instead, in every situation, watch and pray. Acknowledge that He's there. Interact with Him about what He wants us to do. Ask Him for direction and leading. And then He promises that He will give it. He will direct us. He'll show us the paths to go down, the ways to go, the things to do. He will tell us the who, the when, and the where. And we have to be careful, though, that we don't become wise in our own eyes. That's another way of saying that we don't become arrogant and proud. Yeah. That we don't begin to think that once we start doing these things, there's always this, and pride is so tricky like this, right? We begin to live as the Lord wants us to do, and we begin to experience the blessing of that, and immediately our sinful nature decides, whew, I did that. And begins to take credit for it. And we begin to become wise in our own eyes and think, wow, you know, I figured this thing out. And as a result, we begin to fail. We need to be careful not to become wise in our own eyes, but instead to fear the Lord and depart from evil. And if we'll do that, then we'll be healthy spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Now, a good example of this, and I'll use this example because it's so clear, and it's one that Joe has used several times already, and that is of Eve and her interaction with Satan there. The problem with Eve that day is that she didn't follow this passage. I mean, let's follow it through. She did not trust in the Lord with all of her heart. He gave one commandment. That was it. One commandment. Don't eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if she would have trusted the Lord with all of her heart, she would not have done it. Secondly, the problem was that instead of trusting the Lord with all of her heart, she depended on her own understanding. She leaned on her own understanding. She heard what Satan said. She thought, okay, I understand that. I got it. She did not acknowledge God and follow His directions. She should have acknowledged that God said, don't eat this, and that He was right, and then followed those directions. She did say that He said, don't eat it, and then added, don't touch it either, but she did not follow those directions. She did not bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of God. Instead, she considered herself to be wise and able to make the best choice in this situation. She did not fear the Lord. She did not depart from evil. And as a result, she made a choice that compromised the spiritual, emotional, and physical health of herself and all of humanity through that choice that she made. And see, what Satan did here was he helped Eve to free her sinful thoughts from captivity to the obedience of God. He didn't make her do anything. All he did was just ask her a question. See, and he gave her the opportunity to, instead of having her every thought in captivity to the obedience of God, he helped her to free some of her thoughts from captivity to the obedience of God. And she began to think and make decisions for herself in this situation. But the result of that was not actually freedom, but eternal bondage to sin. See, that's what Satan is all about doing. And he is trying to do the same thing to us today. Everything that he's doing is in an effort to help free our sinful thoughts from captivity to obedience to Christ. And to result in the bondage of sin in our life. That's what he wants to create. And he presents it as freedom. That's what he was really presenting to Eve. If you eat of this fruit, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. You'll have freedom. But what she got was bondage. And the same thing happens to us every day. He's offering us freedom, and he's giving us bondage. Because what he's doing is that he is helping us to free ourselves from the captivity to obedience to Christ. And this is so prolific in our society that it's just everywhere in every direction that you look, Satan is putting in place things that help us to free our sinful thoughts. You know, so people look at these things out here and go, well, you know, that doesn't really affect me. I'm not going to kill somebody because I watch a movie about some mass murderer killing people. That's not it. See, the problem is that they think that's his goal. His goal is not to get me to become a mass murderer, because it's not going to happen. His goal is to get me to free some of my sinful thoughts from obedience to Christ, because I did not shun evil. I did not depart from evil. There's this philosophy in the United States today, and it's interesting. There's a group in Birmingham, and some of the people that have commented on our website a few years ago when I made some comments about Romans. And his name online was Freethink Sam. And then he was involved in this group, Freethink Birmingham. Freethink is a philosophy called free thought. And I looked it up, and it's a viewpoint which holds that positions regarding truth should be formed on the basis of logic, reason, and empiricism. In other words, we're with our own minds to think these things through. We're to lean on our own understanding, rather than authority, tradition, or dogmas. And what they mean when they say authority, they mean God. That's what God is, the authority. And when they say dogmas, dogmas are rules or laws set down. What they mean is the scriptures. Amen. And what they're saying is that we should make all of our decisions and our thoughts in life based on logic, reason, and empiricism, rather than trusting in God with all of our hearts, leaning not to our own understanding, in all of our ways acknowledging him, and we're not to depend on dogma, on scripture. And people who have this philosophical viewpoint are known as free thinkers. And to do this is known as free thinking. But in reality, it's not. This is an example of Satan freeing people from obedience to Christ to obedience to sin. It says, regarding religion, free thinkers hold that it is that there is insufficient evidence to support the existence of supernatural phenomenon, which is another way of saying to support the existence of God. This is the idea here. And that's what Satan is trying to do in the world. This is a very formal group of people that live their lives based on this. But that is what he wants to do. This idea that Joe has referred to as being on a sidetrack is really the same idea of us thinking for ourselves. Us getting into a place to where we lean on our own understanding, where we don't bring every thought into captivity to obedience of Christ. And when he does that, it robs us of health and strength. But when we do these things, then we receive them. So, trust the Lord with all of your heart. Don't doubt. Don't make the mistake that Eve made there, where she didn't really trust what God said. Lean not on your own understanding. Don't depend on your own ability to come to that decision. In every way, acknowledge Him. Every decision that we need to make, every thought that we have. I mean, that's the thing. It says, in all of your ways. And that other passage in Corinthians says, bring every thought. I mean, the Lord's getting down to the itty-bitty, teeny-weeny. I mean, what He wants is to be in control 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's what He's saying. I mean, He's really getting down to very fine control. If you want to talk about micromanagement, I mean, that's as fine as it gets. Every thought, all of your ways. That, who's an example of someone who every thought was captive to obedience to God?
The only one.
It's only one. Jesus. Right? Who is the only person who in all their ways acknowledged God? Jesus. And that's what we want to be. We look at that and we go, that's what I want to be. Well, what that means is that we need to give God the most fine-grained control of our lives that we can imagine. And to continually, day in and day out, get more and more and closer and closer. That phrase there where it says, and He shall direct your paths, that word direct, it's called an imperfect. And what it means is that it's an action or a process that's incomplete and continuing. He is continuing to direct our paths. And spirituality is all about giving Him more and more and more ability to direct us. More and more of the time we acknowledge Him. More and more of the time our thoughts are captive to the obedience of Christ. That's what it means to be spiritual. And as we begin to move in that direction and we stop being wise in our own eyes, we begin to humble ourselves before Him and fear Him and depart from evil, that's when we'll begin to experience the same kind of lifestyle that Jesus experienced. Emotionally, He didn't worry about things. He wasn't all torn up physically because of, you know, worrying and things of that sort. Spiritually, He was exactly where God wanted Him to be. He lived a life that was exactly what God wanted it to be and was the best possible life that He could live. And for us to move towards Him, to become like Him, that's our goal, right? And all of the New Testament talks about over and over that our goal is to become just like Him. And one day we will be. One day He'll transform us all the rest of the way there. But in the meantime, we need to be pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, becoming like Him, giving Him complete control of every action and every thought.